Welcome to the Laura Mayer Podcast, a podcast all about learning to walk in the mental, emotional, and relational freedom that Jesus provided for you. I'm excited about this week's topic. I feel like I say that every time, but I think I am every time. I think the topic of teaching people to walk in freedom is something that I'm so passionate about. So every time I have a new topic, it's like I'm ready to teach it to somebody. I'm ready to get it to somebody because I want to see people walk free. I want to see people enjoy their lives. I want to see people be able to let go of the stuff that's weighing you down so that you can live a life of fullness and then get to working on the call that God has for your life. So anyway, all of this stuff just totally excites me. But it's been a great summer. I didn't mean to, but I kind of took the summer off. We've had a great last few months, but school has started back up. I really focused on being intentional with my children over this past summer, trying to spend extra time doing fun things that they wanted to do and just building memories. Because you guys, my kids are getting older, and it seems like every year that goes by, I'm more and more aware of the fact that they're not little anymore, and the fact that there's sort of a countdown clock in the back of my mind of how many years before they transition to the next season of their life, and how exciting that's going to be for both of us. Seasons come and go, and that's an exciting thing, but it's mixed with happies and sads. And so I just want to make sure I fully embrace each season that we're in, so that when it's time for the next one to be here, we're ready for it with no regrets. Before I jump into this episode's topic, I wanted to make a little announcement. So, for some of you that follow me on social media, you may have seen that back towards the end of May, I believe it was, I made a couple of posts about starting to offer mental health coaching appointments. Now, this is different than counseling, but these appointments were set up specifically to work through issues that you wanted to talk about, whether it be toxic relationships, codependency, just relationship issues in general, and boundaries, things like that. Things, honestly, just the topics that we talk about here on the podcast. So I made a couple of posts and just put a couple of feelers out there, and a bunch of you contacted me and set up appointments. So over this summer, that's what I've been doing, and just kind of testing the waters. I didn't really want to commit long term. I wanted to sort of see how it went first, to see if this was something even you guys were interested in, and if this is something that I wanted to do. I've never done it quite in this format before. I am a board certified health coach, board certified mental health coach. That's different than physical health. I'm not going to help you learn how to exercise and eat right. Although those are great things too. But you guys, I had so much fun. I realized that there is definitely a grace on this, and I love helping people in this way. So the announcement is, my Calendly link is updated, and I will be doing this moving forward. So it wasn't just for summer after all. We are going to stick with it. So if you have ever listened to my podcast and thought, gosh, I would just love to have a conversation and sit down with Laura for just a few minutes and give her the specifics of what's going on and just get some customized insight on it, well, now's your chance. So it's as simple as just visiting. I'll drop the link in the show notes for you to, it's a really cool link that you can click on it. You can see my availability, and you can select kind of from the menu of options of what time you would like to meet. All of these appointments are held via Google Meet. So it's all online. You never have to leave your house. A lot of times people meet with me while they're sitting in their car. And so they've got some privacy built in there. But they're very conversational, they're very laid back, and when you set up your appointment, there'll be a place where you can kind of share briefly what you're wanting to discuss. So we will talk about what you want to talk about, and I'm just really excited. So I'll put the link in the show notes. The link is also available on my social media, my link in bio, and you also could just simply email me at lauramayerministries@gmail.com. And I would be happy to send you the scheduling link. if a mental health coaching appointment is something that sounds like it would be interesting to you. So, with that being said, let's jump in to today's topic. I haven't even named the podcast yet. I guess by the point you listen to this, I will have come up with the name and typed something in there. But I want to talk about saying no and getting a grip back on your life and your schedule and not living frantic all the time. And you might say, what does this have to do with mental health? And what does this have to do with emotional health and relational health? Oh, it has so much to do with it, because either your schedule is a product of a lot of dysfunction in those other three areas, mental, emotional, relational, or your schedule is affecting those things. And now it's like having the reverse. So either your mental health is affecting your schedule or your schedule is affecting your mental health. So I just want to share with you some things that I've been processing lately, some things I've learned along the way, some things I have been growing and developing in this area. And it's a really practical thing. This is going to be a really practical podcast episode, but I think it's going to be really helpful. So the first thing I want to share is I think it's important that we pause and take a look at our lives, that we take the time to slow down and look around and say, am I building the life I want? Am I building the life I want for myself, for family, if you have children, all of those things? Am I happening to life, or is life just kind of happening to me? Am I in a thriving mode? Not saying that everything's always perfectly easy, because that's just not going to happen. We live on planet Earth. But am I living from a place of thriving, or am I living constantly from a place of surviving? Now, I get it. There's busy seasons. But do you find yourself constantly giving the excuse that, well, it's been a really busy season? But if you're honest, you'd kind of look at the last several years of your life and realize you've been saying that a long time. Well, I'd like to pose a question to you today that maybe it's not just a busy season. Maybe there could be room for an adjustment in how you approach your life and how you approach your scheduling. Maybe room for some more intentionality. Because if you continue to do things how you've always done things, you're going to keep getting the results you've always gotten. I didn't make up that. I've heard it from multiple places, so I don't really know who to credit it to, but there's so much wisdom in that. What do you want your life to look like? And are you living the kind of life that you want right now? I'm not talking about with material things. I'm talking about your schedule, your rhythm, and just the peace that either you're living in or you're not living in. So I want to share some things that we've learned along the way. The first thing is, when there's an opportunity that comes my way personally, or maybe involved with one of my kids. Maybe my kids have been invited to be a part of a team of some sort, or join a club or an organization or things like that. And these are really good options. They're really good opportunities. And there's so many reasons to say yes. I used to probably would have just said yes, because it sounded like a great idea and it'll be fun. And then I find myself actually in the middle of this commitment that I've made, and I realized, oh, I had no idea it was going to take this much time. Or because I've kind of haphazardly said yes to so many good things, my personal life is now in shambles and I'm meeting myself coming and going. I only have so much capacity for so many good things, and I am over capacity. Let me share a scripture with you that kind of touches on this. So the verse is found in Luke chapter 14, verses 28 through 29. And this portion of scripture is actually Jesus talking, and he's talking about the cost of following him. So it's the cost of being a disciple. But there's a principle in here that just makes so much sense. And in verse 28, it says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are able to finish it, For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, "This person began to build and won't be able to finish." You know, I've heard that phrase a lot growing up about count the cost. And that's the scripture reference that it's found in. If you've ever heard that, count the cost. How I like to look at this in my own life is to think about every decision as a coin. And there's two sides. For everything that you say yes to, you are automatically saying no to something else. Oftentimes when we're making decisions, we're only looking at the yes side of things. And on the fun that we're saying yes to, or the involvement, or the feeling of being included that we're saying yes to. But we're not fully counting all the cost. Because everything costs you something. You only have 24 hours in a day. You only can slice that day up into so many pieces before there's nothing left. And I found that when we try to do too many of one thing, or too many of multiple things, we kind of live our lives watered down, and we're not able to fully invest in the core things that are important to us. And then we live frustrated, and we feel like we're not being effective, and we're frustrated with our kids, we're frustrated with our jobs, we're frustrated with ourselves. But it's because we've watered our energy down to so many things that, yeah, might be good things, but if they're not the thing that God has got in your life for that season, then it's only taking from you, and it's not giving life back to you, and it's not helping you move the needle forward on the things that you feel deeply about. So I teach my kids this too, that for everything you say yes to, you just said no to something else. So for example, I know I use kids a lot because that's just my life right now. That's the season I'm in, and I apologize if it doesn't apply to you guys out there. But if my children, let's say, are invited to join a sports team, and it's something that's going to be a whole lot of fun, like, there's nothing wrong with saying yes to this decision, I also have to keep in mind that one of the priorities for our family, and something that I have noticed is necessary for our family to run smoothly and peacefully, is we need time at home. We need some blank space in our schedule so that we can stay on top of things, so I can keep laundry up, so that I can keep the house clean, so I can remember to buy groceries. But one of the things I value the most is so we can have dinner around the table several nights a week. When my kids were younger, it happened every night. Now that they're older and they're more involved and have jobs of their own, it's getting a little trickier. But it's so important to me that we sit down as a family, even if it's over pizza or over a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. That's not the point. The point is we're sitting down, we're looking into each other's eyes, and we're taking the time to get to be a person and to get to be valuable within this family. And we go around the table and everybody gets to share what was their favorite thing about the day, what was their least favorite thing about the day. And you have an opportunity to be heard. That's so important to me. It's important to me that I can keep the finger on the pulse of my children's hearts and what's going on in their lives, and that they feel like they have an important spot. So before we say yes to that sports thing, I have to know that that's the same as saying no to eating dinner as a family around the table 2 to 3 nights a week. Or maybe we'll still get two, but it's going to be much later, and it's going to be more frazzled, and it's not going to be maybe as good of a dinner. It's going to be something through a drive-thru window. So I've got to count the cost. Now, we're very active in sports. All my kids are doing something. But we've limited it to just one thing at a time for each child, so that we can keep some type of rein on what's important to us, which is strong, consistent family stability time. So everything that you say yes to, you're also saying no to something else. This helps us to get into a different kind of mental framework about our lives, where we start doing life from an intentional place with our choices, where we decide things rather than just slide into things. I think a lot of times we live life from a sliding place where we just slide into yes here and yes here and yes here, and before we realize it, we were not intentional about anything and things are going haywire. So why do we do this? Why do we just say yes to things? Why do we not count the cost? Well, I came up with 5 kind of bullet points for this that kind of surprised me as I was writing them down. I didn't initially sit down and think I'm going to have 5 points as to why we do this. But as I started soul searching for some of my own reasons, when I've talked to others, when we've had conversations with friends, these are the five that kind of popped up for why we continue to say yes to things without counting the cost. Number one, I think there's a fear of missing out. That whole FOMO thing, where we're so afraid that we're going to miss something important, we're going to miss an opportunity, and the result of that miss is going to be great loss. But I would like to say, how much of your life could you be missing out on because you live in a frazzled state? How much of your kids' childhood do you want to be spent them just riding around in the backseat of cars being shuffled from thing to thing to thing? Or how much of your life are you missing out on by constantly saying yes to every new project that comes across at work because you want to be seen as competent with your boss? How much of life are you missing out on when you miss functions and with people who you don't know how much time you're going to have left with them? Kids grow up. Loved ones pass away. Life keeps changing. I would encourage you to live from a place of saying, I don't want to live in regret for things that I value because I've been so busy chasing what other people value or what other people tell me I should value. So the first one is that fear of missing out. But what are you really missing out on? The second one is people pleasing. So many times we let other people have way too much real estate in our life, in the space of our brain. There's a fear of others that leads people to often sell themselves short. We'll do without just to make sure other people have a good, image in their mind of us. We'll be the one to shortchange ourselves, shortchange our own sleep and our own peace for the chance that maybe we're controlling an image that somebody has, that we've got it all together, or that we're a team player, or whatever. So we pressure ourselves to give up what we value for someone else, just for their perception. Why do we think someone else's perception is correct anyway? Why are we so afraid that of what they think? That are they correct when they don't even have all the facts about our lives? There is not a single person out there that will have a 100% correct perception of you because no one else is living your life but you. And even you don't always have a 100% correct perception of your own life because you're doing it kind of from some blind spots. The only one who sees the true you is your Heavenly Father. And I've learned in my own life, the sooner I can remind myself that nobody's opinion of me matters but His, the more peace that I'll get to walk in. And I don't do life from a place of fear. So I would love to share it. Proverbs 9 verse 10 talks about how it's the fear of God that is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, according to Proverbs 9:10. And so I'd like to say in reverse that I think it's the fear of man, which is exactly when we're people-pleasing. That's what it is. It's fear of man. Fear of man is the beginning of foolishness. And actually in Proverbs 29:25, it says that the fear of man is a snare. It's a trap. It lures you in, looks like something you really desire and want, but when you get what you want, you realize it's not what you thought. And what did you lose in the process of seeking to please other people? The third reason I think we forget to count the cost is unrealistic expectations. Gosh, maybe you were like me for so long, where living my life from a place of shoulds. I should do that. I should enlist them in that. I should sign them up. I should be a part of that. I should, I should, I should. I've learned that if you're doing your life from a place of should, that's just replace the word with shame, that it's a you feel bad if you don't. And shame is a very terrible motivator, especially shame is a terrible motivator to get you to the goals that you want to accomplish, because you're always going to be running from something instead of running to something. Shame is all about running from. So maybe you live your life from a place of shoulds. You should be able to do that. You should be able to accomplish all these things. What's wrong with me that I can't hack it? Well, I had to learn about the trade-off, and I'm going to tell you a kind of a fun story. So I have a friend, and I don't think I've ever mentioned her on here before. I have a friend who I really have so much respect and admiration for in how she does her life, how she raises her children, and just what she prioritizes. Now, she prioritizes things differently than I do because we are on different journeys, different paths. I think I love how she's doing things, but she's not living my life and I'm not living hers. But I can still from the outside in go you. So proud of you for identifying what was important to you and your family and running after that. Well, one of the things that she really, really values is healthy, natural, whole food-based eating. Now, I feel like my family probably gets a grade of a C when it comes to this department. We're not the absolute worst, but in the season of life we've been in, the last long while, it's not ideal. It's not as good as maybe it has been at some points, but I've learned just to go with the ebbs and flows of things. But my friend is just so consistent with healthy eating, and she posted on Facebook one day that she had spent the afternoon making dandelion jelly. I'd never heard of dandelion jelly. So she literally went out to her yard and picked all those little yellow flowers that grow here in, well, I live in the southeastern part of the United States. I'm not really sure where else dandelions grow, but they're a weed, you guys. It's just a weed. People mow over them. But apparently there's a lot of vitamins in dandelions, and they actually have a sweet flavor if you just use the bloom. So she had made dandelion jelly and was telling us about how good it was, and she was so excited because it had kind of been on her list of things of wanting to try. And so she'd taken the time to go pick the dandelions, boil them down, make a syrup out of the dandelion juice, and made jelly that supposedly tastes like really good honey on hot, warm, buttered biscuits. It sounded amazing. But as soon as I saw her post, I felt like I was lacking. I had not been outside in my yard picking dandelions and making dandelion jelly. There's no telling what I had done that day. Probably feeling like I was pulling my hair out, just trying to keep my head above water. And I felt like there was just so much lack. Like there was an expectation on me that, well, if she can do this, I should be able to do this too. What's wrong with me? What's my problem? Here she's able to get her life together enough that she can make dandelion jelly. Well, I saw this friend that week or maybe the week after at a local buffet restaurant. And when I ran into her, of course, you know, hi, it's so good to see you. And I just said, oh my goodness, I saw your post and I just think that's the coolest thing ever. And I want to be like you and I want to be able to get my act together so that I can, you know, take the time to make all these homemade delicious foods for my family. I loved her response. I learned something that day. She said, oh, there's so many other areas of my life that I don't feel like I have it together in at all. This is an area that brings me a lot of joy, and I enjoy practicing and experimenting in the kitchen and making new things. I am sure, Laura, that there's areas of your life that you have totally got together that I'm not doing. And with that interaction is when I learned about the trade-offs. So many times we look at what other people are doing and we compare their areas of strength with our areas of struggle. Or maybe we're just comparing their area of what they find joy in, what they love to do, what's an outlet for them, but it's not for us, it's a chore for us. But we still think, what's wrong with me because I'm not just like them? Well, nothing's wrong with you because you're not just like them. God made you different. So that third reason was unrealistic expectations of why we say yes to things. The fourth one is not knowing your purpose, not having a vision, not even knowing how do I know where I'm going? And so how do I know what to say yes to and what to say no to get to that place? I think that's as simple as just asking the Lord. You know, your purpose might not have to be a big picture concept right now. Maybe the Lord just wants to help you right now prioritize the season you're in. Back to my sports analogy, maybe you're in a season with really young kids and you are focused on helping them find their gifts and their talents and what they love to do. And that is what you're prioritizing right now. Awesome. Own it. and run after it with intention instead of just sliding into it. Because it's when we slide that we feel out of control, that the anxiety starts coming in, that we're short-tempered with everybody around us because we slid instead of chose. So ask the Lord to help you prioritize and know what this season is about. Maybe you're in a season right now of caring for a loved one who's sick. Maybe you have small kids. Maybe you're focusing on your education and you're in college and that's just what you're doubling down on right now. And you've chosen to not make space for a lot of other things in order for you to accomplish the goal you're in right now. Maybe you're newly married and you just want to spend time learning to be a couple and not running in opposite directions all the time, busy with things at work or with extended family and all of that. Maybe you're an empty nester. Or maybe you're really focusing on getting out of debt, and that is what is informing the decisions you're making. And the fifth reason why I think oftentimes we don't count the cost is we don't realize there's another way. Maybe you've never known anything different than what you're doing right now. Maybe you were raised in frazzled messes and chaos and schedules being nuts. Like many of our kids are being raised now and they just don't know that there's any other way to do it. Did you know you get to pick some of this stuff? Now, I understand there's some stuff that is truly out of your control right now. But that doesn't mean you have to just relinquish your right to choose over all the other areas. We all have things that we have to work around. Everybody has a limitation somewhere. But if you will get still long enough to pay attention, Maybe you don't know any other way. But if you'll get still and pay attention, your body is trying to tell you something. What cues is it sending to you? Maybe you are living how you've always lived. And some of these ideas are just a whole brand new concept for you. But maybe you also constantly struggle with major anxiety. Maybe you are the short-tempered, snappy one. Maybe you notice that your heart is racing all the time, or you've even begun with shaking, or so much brain fog and you can't quite put two and two together. Or maybe you can't get your brain to calm down at night. Or gosh, maybe you're even dealing with poor digestion or other things in your body. These are ways that your body is telling you that it's living in a danger state. It's always alert, always looking for what's wrong, always looking for what's over the next mountain. And you're living in a state of survival, even if it's all you've ever known. Your mind may not yet have caught up with what the rest of you already knows, but if you will slow down and pay attention, your body's trying to tell you something. So where do you go from here? Well, you go back to scripture and you count the cost. You look at what you're wanting to build and count the cost of what yeses and nos are going to take or give in this season. I would encourage you even list the things that you're involved with, the things you've said yes and no to, or specifically the things you've said yes to. And which ones of those did you say yes to out of fear? Was it fear of missing out? Was it fear of disappointing and angering others? Or what are you doing right now because you think you should? Or maybe it's time to ask the Lord what His vision is for you and to show you His path. Or maybe it's simply just knowing that there is another way. I know that's the space that our family has been in, and I think it's a space that we're going to kind of stay in, almost like with cleaning out your closet. You can't just do it one time and it stays good forever. Periodically, you have to go through and weed out what's no longer working. So our family has been in this space of reevaluating and still asking questions like, okay, why are we doing this? And what are the yeses and the nos that come with it? And make sure the things that you're saying yes to are worth the no's. I hope this has been really helpful. I know it's a little different than how I normally go with this podcast, but I hope it helps and I hope that you've gleaned some wisdom from this. And if you are interested in setting up a mental health coaching appointment, appointments are all online. They're about 45 minutes in length, and I'll drop the link in the show notes. And in the meantime, thank you for joining me here for the Laura Mayer podcast. Join me here again where we will continue learning that being His means being free.